sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
You're listening to That's a Freebie, the only podcast that mixes all the latest news from my little world with interesting stories from the rest of the world. I'm your host, Diggy, and as usual, I'm going to open up with an Ask a Freebie question. This is where I answer questions from all of you. And this week's question is anonymous, and it's from... No, hang on. It's anonymous. It's not from anybody. It's because that's what it says on my my rundown. It's got from in brackets to remind me if it's from somebody or not, but this one isn't. It's an anonymous one. It says, do you carry cards or just have a digital wallet? Interesting question. I do carry cards, but I only exclusively use my digital wallet using Apple Pay because I have an iPhone. But I do carry cards as backup. So I have a little, like a wallet from a company called Moft that I stick on the back of my phone using MagSafe. I'll leave a link to it in the description, actually. It's a really good wallet, mostly because it can also be used as a stand for your phone as well. And as I've mentioned before, I use my phone to watch most of the content that I watch. So pretty much every TV show, movie I actually watch is all done using my phone. So I need somewhere to stand it. And yeah, it's a nice little stand. You can stand it in lots of different positions. It's pretty cool. They have just updated it, actually. Somebody sent me a link to an updated version of it that it's basically now could be also be used as a tripod and wallet in one. They used to do a tripod stand so you could hold it a little bit higher, and they also did the wallet. It's now combined into one, so I'm actually considering getting that because it would be nice to be able to have it held a little bit higher sometimes. So yeah, might look into that. Like I said, I'll leave a link to it in the description. But in that wallet, I keep my driving license, my bank card for my main bank account as a backup, and I have a Curve card which I use to switch between like different credit cards and things like that if I ever need a physical card. Not let me down yet, so I'm going to be sticking with that format, and it seems to work. So, yeah, works well for me. If you would like to ask a question to open up the show, all you need to do is head to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com, and you will find a link to the new multi-purpose feedback form. It not only allows you to submit and ask a freebie question, but it allows for submitting of questions for podtails and general feedback as well. So, as I mentioned, I've really not been particularly well this week. I had 3 days holiday, which were all fine. I was great. We did a few things as a family. We went to the cinema and watched Inside Out 2, which is a great movie. Made us all cry, as you would expect. What else did we do? We went to Dun & Massey and we did some arts and crafts. Had a walk around the house, the big mansion thing that's there. The kids absolutely love that. They've done it before, a few times before, but neither of them could remember it, so they were amazed by it. It was bizarre. The things they were amazed by was like the size of the corridors and the size of the rooms, not the stuff in the rooms, which was funny. All they could think about was if they needed to go to the bathroom in the night, they would probably get lost, which is true. Yeah, they probably would. What else did we do? We went to another place as well. We went to Quarry Bank Mill for Dress Like a Pirate Day. That was good. They got to walk the plank and they got a piece of gold if they were able to walk the plank. Obviously, it was plastic gold, but yeah, they got a piece of gold for walking the plank. It was nice. Nice family time out. And then Saturday hit and I had one of my swelling up episodes, and it was quite a bad one, actually. I from time to time, I think this is actually only the third time that it's happened that I can recall. It might even only be the second time. I might just be remembering it wrong. I'm not too sure. But sometimes instead of my my sort of skin and my muscles swelling up, my internal organs swell up, the swelling turns inside. That's what happened this time. It was awful because everything feels like it's going to burst is the only way of describing it. I was rushed to the hospital. I had a whole bunch of antihistamines pumped into me and painkillers. And the fortunate thing is it doesn't last that long once I get to the hospital because they're putting so much into me. But it's very draining on my system. So I spent the next day, so the day after, which what we're even on now, it's Monday today as I record. I had basically all of Saturday, you know, having the steroids pumped into me, and then Sunday I just spent it in absolute pain and delirium, really, because I had no idea where I was or what I was doing. I still don't have quite a few memories from that day. I'd just gone. My head was killing, so I don't know if my brain was swelling or what, but it certainly felt that way. My wife said, I said it felt like there was a war going on in my head. I don't remember saying that, but yeah, apparently that's what I said. And today I'm just like Monday now, I'm just full of fever. And I think it's just my body reacting to no longer having all of those drugs in my system. So yeah, if I was videoing this, which actually I'm videoing it, but I don't post the video, I am a very sweaty person right now. And it's freezing in this room. So yeah, basically sweating and shaking all day, which is fun. But never mind, that probably means I'll be okay for a while now because I've got all that antihistamine running through my system. It seems to do the job. Oh, so I did have a story for this week, so I'm going to move on to that because let's move on to more fun topics. All the talking about the minis over the last few weeks with the mini game, which is going well, by the way. My son is now almost at 200 minis. I think he's got six more to go till he's at 200. The next closest is, I think, me with about 120. So he is storming ahead. So we all need to get better. Otherwise, it's going to be an absolute, well, he's going to destroy us. I can't even think of a word for it. My brain isn't working at the best at the moment. So, so talking about the mini game, it sort of got me thinking back to when I had a mini, which is why I told you the story of me playing the music on Full Blast the other week. And it also reminded me of my first major journey out in the mini. The first, like, long journey that I ever did in my, well, not on my own in the car. I was with my stepdad. And we went, we used to like going fishing. We used to go sea fishing. So we decided one weekend that we'd go fishing and that I would drive and we would take my mini. Now he had a camper van. It would have made far more sense to go in his camper van. But obviously, in hindsight, I realised now that he wanted to give me the opportunity to do a long journey with somebody who'd experienced it before so that I'd be more comfortable doing it in the future. And boy, was it a journey. So we decided to go to Wales. I suspect we probably would have gone somewhere like Llandudno because that's usually where we would have gone if we were only going for the day. So we set off early in the morning and it was fine. Nice, simple trip. We start fishing, and then while we were there, the heavens opened. It was the storm of all storms. Like, I still to this day don't remember weather like this. It was like the clouds just went, yeah, you know what? Here's everything, all at once. And it did. It absolutely chucked it down, right? There was just floods everywhere. They were advising people to leave Wales if you didn't live there because you wouldn't be able to get home due to the flooding on the motorways and whatnot. So we eventually did, and I seem to recall it was starting to get dark. Now this would probably have been in the summer. I don't remember exactly when it was. It was a very long time ago, but I remember it was starting to get dark. It wasn't dark, but there was a as the sun's starting to go down, you can tell there's a shade of darkness in the air, right? Painting the scene for you now. And I was a new driver, you know, so I'd really been on the motorway much before that. Apart from the first day I was driving, I accidentally went on the motorway and I just had to. That was fine. I'm driving down the motorway and it is bellowing it down. I couldn't see a thing. My wipers are going, wok, 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 you know, because they're on the fullest and couldn't see a thing. And there was a point where I needed to change lanes. I needed to move back, I think, into the left lane. And I went to do it. There was a police car already there and I just couldn't see him at all. And I nearly hit him. And he honked his horn and I went like, ah, no. And I pulled back in and my stepdad's like, just keep going in this lane. You're okay. There's no one in front of you. Don't worry. And the police car went past me and he looked at me and he gave me the thumbs up as if to say, don't worry about it. It's all right. We know this weather's really bad. And I was like, okay, I feel a bit better now. Because I was like, oh no, I'm going to lose my license. I nearly hit a police car. But no, they were absolutely fine. And then all I know then is that all of a sudden my stepdad started screaming, floor it, you'll get through it, just floor it. And I had no idea what he was talking about. Like none whatsoever. I couldn't see what he was talking about. And it turned out there was a massive flood in the road. And it was that rainy. I couldn't see the police there waving at everybody to warn them about it. Like I just couldn't see them. And he's in the passenger seat, so he's not concentrated on driving and concentrated on staying in his lane, so he could see more. And he goes, just floor it. So I did, I floored it, and I hit this puddle, right? And I think the thing that he didn't consider is that we were in a mini. We were pretty close to the ground. So I hit this puddle as hard, and all I heard was this, as my wheels lifted off the floor, and we floated in this puddle, turned around, so we were facing the opposite way on the motorway with all these cars streaming at us, and I did a full 360, hit the ground again with my wheels, and then the engine cut out. So we are stuck in the either second or third lane on the motorway with traffic screaming at us with this big flood, right? We didn't know what to do, so I could hear somebody screaming. And I didn't know who was screaming. And it turned out it was a police officer at the side of the road going, get out of the car, get out of the car, get out of the car. So we did. We opened the doors. And as we opened the doors, the car filled with water and sank. So it was up to like the bottom layer of the seats. So it didn't cover the seats. It covered like, you know, when the seats are raised from the ground and you've got the mechanism underneath, it hit the mechanism of the seats. So we gets out of the car, got absolutely soaked. The police then ran into the road and just basically grabbed hold of our clothes and pulled us out of the water into the side of the road and threw us onto the side of the road. And I was like, well, this is it. My car's gone. Someone's going to hit it. And nobody did. I couldn't believe it. Nobody hit the car. Everybody was just flying down the motorway, hitting this puddle, soaking us through it. We were drenched. It was unbelievable. And eventually the traffic started to calm down, because I think what must have happened is the police must have closed the motorway further down, because it definitely wasn't safe to be driving through it. So the police then thought to themselves, well, we need to get this car out of the road, because it was a dark red on a getting dark night. So you couldn't see it. So if anyone did come down, they're likely to plow straight into it. And that wouldn't have been good for anybody. So they started trying to push it out of the road. And they did. They managed to push it out of the puddle. And then they moved it to the side of the road over into the hard shoulder. And that's where it stayed for a good 2 or 3 hours. While we sat there at the side of the road, soaking wet, the police gave us, you know, the covers, the blankets that you get, you know, the silver blankets. We had them to try and keep us warm. And they called a recovery truck for us. Now, the recovery truck turned up and we thought to ourselves, well, we didn't think to ourselves anything. I was panicking, thinking, how much is this going to cost? I haven't got any money on me. Not thinking, obviously, my insurance would have covered it. I didn't really think about any of that kind of stuff back then. And my stepdad was very much the kind of person who would never have like wanted to pay somebody to recover him because he was a mechanic, and you know that was the kind of thing he could do. So I think he was a bit like, I could fix this. If they would just let me over to the car, I could solve this problem. And he was probably right. He probably could have. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. But of course, the police wouldn't let him near the car because we were on a motorway, regardless of any traffic coming down. Because he said to them so many times, I could just go and do it, and they wouldn't let him. So anyway, recovery truck finally turned up. And for whatever reason, I can't remember why this was, but it couldn't tow us. It didn't have something to tow us, like the right attachment for my type of car or something like that. But what we did find is that the police had a rope in their car. So what they did is they said to me, well, you can have this rope. I don't really need it. It's an old rope. And it was a really old, tatty rope. And so they tied the rope to my car. They tied the rope to the recovery truck. Actually, I've just remembered what it was. He already had a car on the back. That's what it was. He'd already picked a car up, and it was on the back of the recovery truck. So there was no room on the truck, but if we'd have had something to tie it, he would have been able to do it. And that's what it was. I remember now. And anyway, he basically tied it to us. And at this point, we got in the car, and he started towing us. And he basically said, look, I can't tow you all the way, but I can tow you to the next service station where you can get yourself sorted. So we were like, all right, thanks. And then as we're going along, my stepdad says to me, he says, I don't know what we're going to do when we get to the next service station. Like, we haven't got any money for anything. We haven't, you know, we've just got nothing to actually solve this problem. We've no way of getting home unless we can get the car running. He said, what I'll do is I'll just try and get the car running when we get to the service station. If we can't, great, we'll be able to drive home. And I was what, 18, something like that. I think I passed my test when I was 18, and I'd only just passed my test. So I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever you think's best, you know, it's fine. And we're driving along the motorway. Well, we're not driving along. We're getting towed along the motorway, and the rope snapped. The tow rope. I don't know what happened, but the actual rope just snapped as we were going along. And we were like, oh crap. What do we do now? And the guy hadn't realised, so he's ploughing along, and we're still flying. We're probably still doing like 50, 60 mile an hour at this point, because we've been towed along at that speed, because he was really going for it. And anyway, the rope snapped, and we could see getting further and further away, so we're like, oh, what do we do? And my stepdad goes, pop it in second and then lift the clutch up and jumpstart it. And I was like, okay, and I did, and the car started. So I popped it in second, released the clutch, and he went, boom, and he just came to life, turned the light, and he just goes, right, go, don't let it cut out, go, go, go. So I did, just drove on, and I overtook the tow truck, and as I overtook it, he looked down at us, my stepdad gave him a thumbs up, and we just carried on going. We made it home. It was fine. We made it all the way home. We never heard from him again. It was hilarious. When we got home, we realised we still had the rope attached to the front of the car, and it was dragging all the way down the motorway. We couldn't work out why people kept looking at us when we were driving on the streets. It's because we had this big, massive rope trailing behind us because it had gone under the car. Oh, man, that was a very, very insane night, but it was a lot of fun. This week's buzz off is a bit of a funny one, but not funny as in ha-ha funny, as in that was a strange situation funny, but I also understand it funny. So as I said earlier in the week, we went to see Inside Out 2. Great movie, you should go and watch it. The first one was good. Second one is almost the same as the first one when you think about the story, but it was okay. It was good. The kids enjoyed it, and that's what matters, right? Actually, I enjoyed it. I'm making it sound like I didn't enjoy the film. I did enjoy the film. It was great. However, we did the thing where you stay behind to see if there is an after credits scene. Spoiler alert. Can't speak. There is. So if you go to see it, stay all the way to the end credits. And we did exactly that. We saw the end credits scene. And as we were leaving, there was a lady sat with a really young kid in the very front row through the whole film. And this young kid, I'm talking like, she must have been 3 or 4, maybe 5 at a push, but I don't really think she was 5. And she started walking up the steps. And my wife said on the way down, she said, "Oh, you're going the wrong way, darling." And the mum went, "No, she's not. She's doing survival training." And we went, pardon? She said, "Yeah, we do it. Whenever we go to the cinema, she does survival training afterwards. And what she does is she goes up to the top and then she comes back down by climbing over all the seats because of the bomb at the Manchester Arena. We always get her to do survival training whenever she's anywhere like this, so she knows how to get out in case there's an emergency." And everybody's slowing everything down and blocking up the aisles. Because apparently that's what happened at the arena. I don't know if that's what she said. She said at the arena, everybody was going so slow at trying to get out of the doors that it caused more problems. And I really didn't know how to feel about that. Like, absolutely kudos for getting your child prepared for, you know, anything that could happen in life. I don't have a problem with that necessarily. But at the same time, is it really okay that we should have to be teaching children survival training? I don't know. Don't know how I feel about that one. I really don't think we should need to be doing that. And also, surely what was probably happening in the situation at the arena is all the people that were trying to get out incorrectly, like climbing over seats and things like that, were probably slowing everybody else down because they were essentially trying to push towards the front. So you may be creating a problem by doing that. I genuinely don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. However, the thing that I'm telling to buzz off is not that lady or her child at all. It's the fact that we live in a world where that's a situation that is even up for debate in any way, shape or form. So today, the whole world could buzz off. This week in Pod Tales, I am continuing the Summer of Sleep. And this week's Summer of Sleep topic is the one and only insomnia. It's quite fitting, actually, insomnia, because I was suffering from insomnia the other night after I had all of those antihistamines. I'd slept so much throughout the course of the day that I couldn't sleep. All I remember is seeing stars, I think, in my head. I can't even remember what they were. And they kept blinking in and out, but it was like they were having a little fight with one another. I wonder if that's what I meant by there was a war inside my head. Don't know. Anyway, what is insomnia? Insomnia, or sleeplessness, is a common sleep disorder where people struggle to fall asleep, stay asleep, or both. This can lead to daytime sleepiness, low energy, irritability, and a depressed mood. Insomnia increases the risks of accidents, impairs focus, and hampers learning. It can be short-term, lasting days or weeks, or chronic, lasting over a month. Some of the causes and risk factors. Insomnia can occur on its own or be a symptom of another issue. Conditions contributing to insomnia include ADHD, psychological stress, chronic pain, heart failure, hyperthyroidism, heartburn, restless leg syndrome, menopause, some medications, substance use like caffeine, nicotine, and alcohol, and other risk factors include working night shifts, sleep apnea, and even genetic factors. And how do you get diagnosed with insomnia? Diagnosing insomnia involves assessing sleep habits and identifying any underlying conditions. A sleep study might be conducted to rule out other sleep disorders. Simple screening questions like, do you have difficulty sleeping or do you have trouble falling or staying asleep, help in initial diagnosis. They are the most basic questions ever. I feel like you shouldn't need to answer those questions if you're going for help for having difficulty getting to sleep, because you've probably gone in and said, I can't get to sleep. Treatment and management. Treatment often starts with sleep hygiene and lifestyle changes. Maintain a consistent bedtime. Ensure a quiet, dark room. Get sunlight exposure during the day and regular exercise. And then you've also got cognitive behavioural therapy. This can be added to improve sleep patterns. While sleeping pills can help, they are not recommended for long-term use due to risks like addiction or dementia. Wow, I did not know that. Alternative medicines' effectiveness is unclear, and treatment efficacy varies among individuals. Insomnia affects 10% to 30% of adults at any given time, with up to half experiencing it annually, and about 6% suffer from chronic insomnia, which is more common in older adults and women. So some of the common symptoms of insomnia are the obvious one: difficulty falling asleep, waking up during the night and struggling to return to sleep, waking up too early, daytime sleepiness, irritability, depression and anxiety, low energy, trouble concentrating, and sleep onset insomnia. Is difficulty falling asleep at night often linked to anxiety disorders? Early morning awakening is waking up earlier than desired and unable to go back to sleep, often associated with depression. And then you've also got poor sleep quality, which is caused by conditions like restless leg syndrome, sleep apnea, or major depression, where the individual does not reach the restorative stages of sleep. And of course, excessive use of technology, especially before bedtime, is linked to insomnia. Studies have shown that increased screen time can reduce sleep duration and quality. Adolescents are particularly affected, with poor sleep outcomes associated with excessive use of smartphones, video games, and other digital media. Preventing insomnia involves maintaining a regular sleep schedule, avoiding vigorous exercise and stimulants before bedtime, creating a conductive sleep environment, or treating underlying conditions that might interfere with sleep. There are some strategies for managing insomnia as well. Some non-medication based are behavioral sleep medicine. This involves sleep hygiene, stimulus control, and sleep restriction therapy. Then you've also got, like I previously mentioned, cognitive behavioral therapy. This helps modify behaviours and thoughts that cause insomnia. It's effective in the long term and often preferred over medication. And stimulus control therapy. This limits activities in bed to sleep and sex only, maintaining a strict sleep schedule and avoiding naps. And then, of course, you've got medications. You've got antihistamines. So over-the-counter options like diphenhydramine can help but may cause dependence or other side effects. That was really hard to get that sentence out. Antidepressants. Some antidepressants have sedative effects and are used to treat insomnia. Melatonin agonists. Supplements like melatonin can help, especially in older adults. Benzodiazepines and Z-drugs are often prescribed for short-term use but can lead to dependence and are not recommended for long-term use. And of course, as with everything, there are alternative treatments. Herbal remedies like valerian, chamomile, and lavender are used but lack strong evidence for effectiveness. Practices like acupuncture and the use of cannabinoids also need more research to determine their efficacy. While insomnia can be a chronic condition, many people manage it effectively with lifestyle changes and therapy. However, severe insomnia is linked to increased mortality rates, especially when it leads to insufficient sleep. It's crucial to address insomnia to improve overall health and quality of life. Insomnia has been documented since ancient Greece, reflecting its long-standing impact on human health. The word insomnia comes from Latin, meaning without sleep. Insomnia is a prevalent and often debilitating condition, which affects millions worldwide. Understanding its causes, symptoms, and treatments can help manage and potentially overcome this sleep disorder. Whether through lifestyle changes, therapy, or medication, there are ways to reclaim a good night's sleep and improve overall well-being. And this is the point where I remind you all that you can send in your own topics for Pet Tales using the multipurpose feedback form. Just head to the show notes or thatsafreebie.com. If you want even more That's a Freebie, you should join That's a Freebie Plus. Just head to the show notes of thatsafreebie.com and click the link where you can join for just £4 a month. Your membership gets you the plus feed of the show that's sent out immediately after it's recorded, which includes almost zero edits. I do edit out any long gaps that are in there, or if I receive a phone call during recording, because that seems to happen every week. So you can hear me plan the show and you can hear all of my mistakes. This feed includes the exclusive That's a Freebie segment at the end of the show too. This week in That's a Freebie Plus, I will be talking about a dream that I had last night that was a little bit strange. And if you can't or you don't want to join Plus, that is absolutely fine. You can still help the show by sharing it far and wide and leaving a review in your podcast client of choice. This week's pick of the week is a continuation of my podcast listening habits. This week's podcast is Cortex. That's Cortex. There will be a link in the show notes to it. What is Cortex? So Cortex is a podcast that is presented by Mike Hurley and CGP Grey. Actually, I just want to double check that because it's one of those things that I often get the name wrong. But I think I've got that right. Let me just double check. Yeah, it is CGP Grey. I don't know why I always do that. I always say it and I feel like, oh, no, it's GCP. It's not, it's CGP. If you don't know who these people are, listen to the podcast. You'll find out more about them. But basically, they own a brand called Cortex Brand, and they make some of the best-looking notebooks and journals out there. They are amazing. You've probably seen their products and you've just never realized who they are if you don't already know. And you will have seen some of CGP Grey's videos on the internet. They are some of the most popular videos on YouTube. It's probably one of the most followed people on YouTube as well. I'll leave links to all of these things in the description. But the whole idea of the Cortex podcast is that they discuss their lives when it comes to productivity. They discuss their products and they discuss technology, and it's a real nice mix of several different things. But the way they do the podcast is they just, because they run this business together, once a month they make sure they have an actual conversation rather than just, you know, talking through Slack or text message or quick phone calls. They actually sit down and have a proper full-on conversation about what's gone on in their lives over the last month, and they just record it. And it's great. They record for hours. So the podcast usually comes out at about an hour and a half to 2 hours, I think it is. But apparently they're recording for like 4 or 5 hours sometimes. And it's once a month, so it's not like it's a big ask in terms of time, because it is only once a month. It's great. It's a really good podcast. You should totally listen to it. And to finish off this week, I have got just one last story. I thought I'd finish with a story this week. I went to my local deli a few days ago, and I said to the lady behind the counter, I want to buy a toasted ham and cheese baguette with pickles. She looked at me, really weird look on her face, and she said, "We only take cash or card."